Lord, we praise you. We glorify you, Lord, this morning. We give you honor and we give you all the praise. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and the power and the glory and all the majesty and the dominion is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, O Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power, and in thy hand is might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, O Lord our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Amen and amen. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the fellowship hour today. Today we're going to worship and pray. That's what the Holy Spirit is calling for this morning. Praise the Lord. I'll get back to the last chapter of the book of James some other time, maybe tomorrow, maybe whenever, but today Holy Spirit is calling for worship and for prayer. I will speak a little bit about that. We're going to do it together. Praise the Lord. Father, as always, we thank you again and again because the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine into our hearts this morning and afternoon and inspire revelation knowledge even within us in Jesus' name to understand the call to prayer even at this time in Jesus' name. We give you, Lord, the praise and we give you, Lord, the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, two things we want to do today combined into one: prayer, worship and prayer. Well, you know, prayer is really, you know, includes worship, thanksgiving, petitions, intercessions, supplications, you know, it's all wrapped up together. Praise the Lord. So, but the Holy Spirit is calling for us to pray more. Pray more. You know, there is an example that we see in the life of Jesus in the book of Mark chapter 1. And we see, let me read from verse 35, maybe one or two verses there. You know, and it says, and in the morning, well, let me just read from verse 32. And at evening time, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door and healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So that was the day before, in the evening. Then everybody went to bed, himself also. And then in the morning, rising up a great while before day, before anybody else got up, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there he prayed. And later on, Simon and the others, they followed after him. They were looking for him. So when they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. What is the example that we see here? Well, Jesus, after doing all these miracles of healing the sick, casting out devils, even before that, he went forth and healed, Peter's mother-in-law, you know, that had a fever and so on and so forth. And he was just doing all these things. Power was coming out of him, you know. But he knew what to do. He knew that after all of that, he needed to go and get ready and recharge himself. And he would always do that early in the morning. But we ourselves, we have our charge that God gave us in this, on this platform a couple of years ago when it started. And one of the things he gave us, which I've quoted from time to time, Leviticus chapter 6, when he was talking to the priests. Well, and you know, we are all priests, right? According to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. All of us are a royal priesthood before the Lord. God has called us to be priests. It's not a title that one person should grab at. He has called all of us to be priests. Praise the Lord. And we see that now, because he has called us to be priests, according to, again, to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, it says, God has made us kings and priests unto God. Hallelujah. So he has made us priests. He has made us kings. Well, we need to do what priests do then. You know, that's what we must do every day. Praise the Lord. And the Lord says again in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, the scripture says, God has made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Well, let's see the commandment for priests then. This new priesthood, not the old priesthood that was constantly offering, making offerings and sacrifices for sins. The new priesthood says, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and an holy nation, a peculiar people. What do these new people do, this new priesthood? That ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time passed were not a people, you know, the Gentiles and so forth were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, and so forth. So we're establishing the fact that we are a new priesthood called to prayer. And this is what he called even from the beginning. This was never removed. It was an ordinance forever for priests. Always to pray, according to the book of Leviticus, chapter 6. We've read it multiple times, and I'm going to read it again. Verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest, that's you, shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Hallelujah. You know, so that's the instruction that the Lord gives to us who are called into this priesthood. Moreover, you know, the Lord also said to us when we came in this room early that morning on October 1, 2022, give us another charge. He said, thy people, Psalm 110 and verse 3, shall be willing in the day of thy power. And so we see the day of God's power being revealed. He said, well, thy people shall be willing in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. You know, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, that's what he swore to Jesus, and we also in that same lineage. And as priests, every day, we can also command the womb of the morning. Womb of the morning implies that the day is pregnant. Well, we're not going to take a chance or leave it up to chance of how the day is going to come forth or turn out. We're going to influence the outcome. There was a woman one time that was pregnant, and she had the glory of God. She had the anointing of God and everything like that. But that pregnancy was in danger. You can read that in Revelation chapter 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This woman was clothed with the sun. She had the moon under her feet. She had the anointing. She had victory, so to speak, over powers of darkness under her feet. She had a crown of 12 stars. But when she was pregnant and she travailed in birth, pained to be delivered, you know, there was a great deal of pain during that pregnancy. But right before her stood a great red dragon, and waiting to devour the child as soon as he was born. He said, well, if I can't stop the birth, well, I'm going to swallow up the child as soon as it's born. You know, so despite the anointing and the glory and the sun and everything upon and the crown upon her head, she was, the birth was in danger. The birth, the child that she was about to bring forth, was in danger, you know. And we see a great revelation here, you know, that there's always something going on. War in heaven sometimes that we don't even understand. Michael and his angels fighting the dragon and his own angels. The dragon has his own angels, but their place was not found, you know. And then we heard a voice that said, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Well, do you think the devil has stopped? Of course not. You know, praise the Lord. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You know, so now we're going to talk about prayer a little bit. Prayer, Jesus himself commanded us to always pray. And he gave us the many stories to encourage us to always pray. Man ought always to pray. Luke chapter 18, and not to faint. What does that mean? Well, that means don't give up, but you always pray. You pray yesterday, pray again today. Praise the Lord. You pray today, you know, by tomorrow, by the grace of God, when we get there, we pray again. Every day while it is called today, we must pray. And while you're praying today, you're also praying, you know, against the evils in the future. Jesus told us how to pray against evils in the future. And that's what we are going to do more so particularly today. When the disciples said, teach us how to pray, among the other things, you know, that the Lord said, first he said, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Those things are important. Come into the Lord, come into his presence with worship and hallowing his name. And right away we talk about his will, thy kingdom, be done, thy will be done in heaven, thy kingdom come. These things are mostly, you know, important to God. And then he began to teach us how to pray for forgiveness of sins on the basis that we ourselves are forgiving others. And lead us not into temptation. You began to pray. You have to pray about these things. There's a lot of temptation out there, but steer us away from temptation. It's really what it is. Get us away from there. Any trap that the enemy sets for us, help us to be clean, escaped, and deliver us from evil. There may be no evil at the moment. You may, you know, wake up and everything is good, but there's always evil around the corner. And oh, we must be well prepared. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we're not paranoid or any kind of thing like that. We're not expecting evil to happen to us. You know, some people go through lives being, you know, I mean, they have this spiritual paranoia all through their lives. They're thinking that some evil will happen to them. That's not what I'm talking about. But you must pray against the evil. Now, thinking evil is not a good thing. Job was probably thinking evil because we, you know, we understand from his own mouth, you know, when he said, the thing that I have greatly feared has come unto me. Well, you know, why did he say that? You can read that in Job chapter 3 and verse 25. So, you know, it might have been that, you know, he was always fearful that this evil would come, that he would lose all his stuff, that he would lose all his children. And it came upon him. You can't be like that, but you must pray against it. Praise the Lord. And anytime the Holy Spirit inspires your heart against prayer, toward prayer, against any evil, you must do it. You know, because the Holy Spirit, he knows what's ahead. Sometimes, you know, we're told that he will show us things ahead and we must pray, you know, and some people call, you know, the Holy Spirit will give them inspiration sometimes. Some people call it, you know, intuition or this and that, or premonition of some evil that's coming. Well, let's give the glory to the Holy Spirit. He's our governor and he will lead us and he will instruct us. And when he calls you to prayer, we better do it. Prayer. And so this morning, we're going to pray. We're going to pray some more over evil. You know, we want the Lord to deliver us from evil. Jesus himself, he prayed for all of his disciples when he was about to leave. He prayed and prayed and prayed for us. And he said, look, I pray not only for these ones, but for all the others, basically, which means down through the ages, that will hear about me through their preaching. And what did he say? He said, Lord, you know, Father, I pray that you take them not from the world, but, you know, keep them from the evil. You know, so Jesus himself prayed for us regarding being kept from evil. And we must pray that same kind of prayer for ourselves all the time. The time to be prepared for a crisis or to pray about a crisis is not when we are already in the crisis. It's way ahead of the crisis, before it even comes. That's why Jesus would always get up early in the morning and take care of business. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we must do the same thing. Praise the Lord. We want the Lord who can see it all. You know, see it all. Any trap, any snare that the devil is trying to set for us, our loved ones, our children, our brethren, you know, we need to pray against it before it even starts. Hallelujah. You know, and the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and he will preserve us from evil. His eyes run to and fro, we are told, and he will always watch over us. But we have to do our part. Number one, we have to be sensitive. Praise the Lord. We got to be sensitive in the spirit when the Lord is telling us to pray. We got to respond. There is something that the Lord has set within us. It's the Holy Spirit. It's, you know, he has set that Holy Spirit within us to instruct us, you know, and sometimes he will trigger something in us. And there's something the Lord has seen, which he knows for us to do. And we want his eyes that are always seeing all things. Sometimes he needs to show us so that we can pray. The book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 17 says, surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. You know, what does that mean? Well, you're trying to set a snare and a trap for a bird, and the bird is looking, and you set it while he's looking. You know, there, it's not going to work because he already saw you do it. Now, so that's the, you know, escaping snares, you know, and so forth. That's what we want the Lord to help us to do, you know. And when, how do we do it? Well, the Lord has seen it, and we need to see it too. And we need to pray that the Lord will, you know, guide us. I will instruct you, Psalm 32 and verse 8, in the way that you should go. And I will guide you with my eye. Well, that eye that has seen the snare that is set before us, well, you know, let it be plain to us as well, that we may be clean escaped. It's a lot of things to pray about. You know, the trap, every trap and snare, you know, that the devil was set before us. The way that we are going to avoid those traps is through daily prayer. Daily prayer and daily contact with the Lord in prayer prevents snares. Hallelujah. So let's prevent those snares and let's be ready. Let's be prayed up. When we are prayed up, we are more sensitive to the Spirit. A storm is coming. There's a gathering storm right now. That's why the Lord is also preparing us, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord, through his Spirit, will raise up a standard against him. So, on the one hand, there's going to be darkness and gross darkness, but light is upon us to shine. But we must put up our spiritual antennas. Glory to God. So, you know, putting that all of that together, it's a call to prayer. Every once in a while we sanctify, fast, and do all of these things. But I'm not talking about fasting right now. I'm talking about praying all the time. You can't fast all the time, but you can pray all the time. You know, and we don't need to wait until we are in fasting or in consecration, you know, before we pray. Prayer is what we must do all the time. Not only for ourselves, you know, for our children, but for the work of the ministry, you know, for the things of God. We must constantly be in prayer. Paul was always asking for prayer. Pray for us, he would say, you know, that the word of God will have free course. And he would always ask for prayer. And he would also always admonish people that first of all, you know, prayers should be made with thanksgiving for all men, for kings and those in authority, etc. You know, prayer is something that we must always do. Today, I want to focus a little bit on praying ourselves ready against adversity and crisis. Hallelujah. You know, now, we've talked about adversity and we've talked about crisis in the past, is some things that we can avoid even through prayer. It's not everything that we'll be able to avoid, but through prayer, we might be able to avoid certain things. You know, so adversity. And adversities will come, you know, through many things. You know, it's just the way it is. Jesus said himself that, you know, as long as you are in this world, you will have tribulation. You know, but be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world for you. How did he do it? Well, it was through prayers that he did it. You know, and sometimes the things that will befall us, that the enemy may be planning, a lot of it can be avoided. If we got up in the morning and we spent more time in prayer and prayed about everywhere we're going to go and drive and so on, well, perhaps the Lord will avert any evil. But if we don't spend that time in prayer, we rush out and say, well, I don't have time. Pray. Well, you don't have time to not pray. Because if you do not pray, the devil is going to take advantage. Now, you know, adversity can come in different ways, you know, but we need to be prepared. You know, we need to build our spiritual capacity for any kind of crisis and any kind of plan that the enemy will bring. And you can avoid and avert many adversities through prayer. You know, what if we are even more prayerful and worshiping and praising the Lord, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us, you know, reveal things to us that will give us understanding, might give us inspiration, you know, how to avoid certain things because we're close to him in prayer. If we are not praying, you know, then we leave ourselves wide open for so many things, you know. So we need to pray and be more prayerful. And we're going to be doing more of that in this, on this platform from time to time. Whenever the Holy Spirit calls for it, we will do it. And it calls for it today. Just spending some time to explain it, you know, but. You know, next time we may not need to spend a whole lot of time explaining it. Just do it. He that digs a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an edge, a serpent shall bite him. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. Now that hedge, you build it up by prayer. But breaking the hedge means prayerlessness. You know, when we are prayerless, the devil will find an opening in that hedge. And when there is, you know, this serpent and this viper is coiled up, waiting to strike. He's looking for how he may strike. But as long as we are all prayed up, you know, his chances of striking, he'll hit a brick wall when he tries to strike. So we need to be prayed up. When we have emergencies, we might have been either prayed up or not. And how you will respond in either case, I mean, how you respond in the case of an emergency may depend on how well you are prayed up. Some people lose their bearing and they lose, you know, focus, they even lose their mind sometimes. They're in the middle of emergencies, but they're not prayed up. But those who are prayed up are more likely to be calmer. We see an example of Jesus, always prayed up. Always. We just read it in Mark chapter 1. How he would, before the day began, be out there praying and so forth. Our disciples were not doing that. You know, and then when they were faced with a storm, Mark chapter 4, and the boat was almost capsizing and so forth. The one that was prayed up, you know, were just slipping through the storm. The others that were not prayed up were running around, you know, crazy and panicking and so forth. You know, and if they would have been prayed up, they would have built up a spiritual capacity to face the crisis that was coming. And Jesus told them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he urged them to pray with him. They didn't pray. They were sleeping. And he urged them again, you know, to pray. They didn't pray. They were sleeping. Their eyes were heavy, sometimes, you know, through sorrow or whatever it was. But Jesus kept telling them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And even the one that thought that, you know, everybody else could fall or everybody else would deny the Lord, I'd never do it, Peter said. Well, Jesus said, better pray. You know, Matthew chapter 6:26 and verse 41 tells them, you know, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Well, I put it this way. Watch and pray and build up your spiritual capacity against crises that are coming so that you can be an overcomer, because those things will come. But we must be ready, you know, more ready in prayer and so forth. God himself, you know, he said, even concerning the things that are happening in the world sometimes, you know, the Lord might say that, look, I'm looking for a man to make up the hedge. I'm looking for somebody that knows how to pray and stand before the Lord, you know. And if he finds somebody, well, maybe he will spare. You know, if he doesn't find somebody, you know, there may be, you know, judgment will strike, you know. So, you know, standing in the gap, not only for ourselves, we can also stand in the gap for our communities, our cities, you know, our nations even, and things like that. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, I looked for a man from among them that would, you know, stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and so forth like that. And the Lord said, well, yeah, you know, if I find such a man, I mean, that's prayer that the man is doing. It's really prayer that stands, that makes you stand in the hedge and make up the gap. It's through prayer. That's how you do it. And if you're able to do it, well, the Lord said that, you know, I might do something. You know, I might spare and not destroy the place. But it's, unfortunately, he said, I found none. So let's read it. Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge in prayer and stand in the gap before me in prayer for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them and consumed them with the fire of my wrath, you know, and recompensed upon them their own way, saith the Lord. But, you know, prayer, you know, can avert a lot of that. You know, one day, Abraham stood in prayer before the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to go over there. I've heard of their iniquity. The voice and the cry of the place has come to me. You know, and I'm going to check it out. And Abraham stood before the Lord in prayer, in intercession. I said, shall the Lord, the judge of the whole earth, destroy the righteous with the unrighteous and with the wicked? The Lord said, well, say on. He said, well, if the Lord, peradventure, will find 50 people in there, you know, that are walking in the light, will the Lord destroy the place still? And the Lord said, no, I will not do it if I find 50 such people. And the Lord was about to go. He said, hold on now. What if you don't find 50? Suppose it's only 45 you find. The Lord said, well, you know, I will even spare the place for 45. And then the Lord wanted to move on again. Say, you know, one more minute. What about 35? What about 30? What about this and this? And he just stood in prayer. And he tried to, you know, bargain for the lives of those people, you know, that if the Lord should peradventure find some righteous people there. You know, that's standing in the gap. That's standing in the gap. You know, sometimes we even have to stand in the gap for others who can't pray for themselves. You know, sometimes people are in such a bad shape. They may be in a coma. They may be in this and that. You know, they may not even be able to pray. And we stand in the gap. We pray for them. Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you. Because the devil has desired to have you and sift you as wheat is sifted. But I have prayed for you. And you therefore also strengthen your brethren when you are converted. You know, so Jesus prayed for his disciples, and we should pray one for another. It's too many scriptures to even read concerning prayer, but I want to us to do it this morning. So can we also say, I have prayed for you, you know, for your children? Can you say it? I have prayed for you. Any plans that the enemy, you know, is planning for you, I have prayed for you. Luke chapter 22, verses 32 to 34. Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for you. Can you say it to your children? I have prayed for you today. Hallelujah. Can you say it to your brethren that are going through that I have prayed for you? And you need to pray for ourselves also. And Jesus was even telling them, you know, about the things that are coming in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and other places. He told them, pray, you know, for yourselves. And even pray that, you know, these things will not catch you unawares. And here is one powerful prayer that he instructed us to be praying. You know, now, are we doing this kind of prayer on a daily basis? We should be. If we are not doing it, well, let's make a practice of doing it. You know, and he said, look, we need to pray. Watch ye therefore and pray always. He said, Luke 21 and 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape this great tribulation that he's been describing. And to, you know, all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So there will be some people that will escape. I mean, that's why he told us to pray. Now, some people don't believe that there's any such escape. We're not escaping because we're afraid of anything. We're praying that we should escape just like Jesus told us to pray. And you should be afraid of the wrath of God that's coming upon this world, because we are not called to wrath. When the cup of his indignation is poured out, you don't want to be here. You want to be, because people are going to say, let the rocks fall on me. The people will want to die and death will flee away from them. It's going to be horrible. You know, Jesus gave us a way out. The great escape. He gave us a way to do it. He said, it's through prayer. And what kind of prayer? Is it the one prayer that you pray today and another one next month? And another one in another 2 or 3 months. No. He said, pray always that you may be able to escape these things. So these are things that we should add to our prayer every day. What else should we be praying about when we pray? Well, pray for his kingdom to come and for his will to be done in the earth, even as it is in heaven. If you understand the kingdom and the role of the church, then that prayer will be in your mouth at all times. But also, more importantly, pray against crisis. You need to develop faith for crisis through prayer and through reading of the Word of God, through praising the Lord and worship. We fortify ourselves. We strengthen ourselves. You know, we use the Word of God to encourage ourselves, but you do it by prayer. You know that the Lord has already promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart perfect before him. Hallelujah. You know, so let's pray. and build up spiritual capacity. Even Jude, you know, encourages us that by praying a lot, you know, is one of the things that we should do. One way to build up capacity is through prayer. You know, we pray. Hallelujah. But ye beloved, Jude chapter 1 verse 20, just one chapter in Jude, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You know, how do you do that? Well, you read the word of God. You know, because faith comes by hearing. You hear the word of God, you pray, you get in his presence, you walk in his ways, as you build up your most holy faith. And also, you pray in the Holy Ghost. That's the way that you keep yourselves in the love of God, while you are always looking for his mercy. Praise God. So praying. Hallelujah. And when we are waiting for something from the Lord, you know, what should be our posture in prayer? Don't pray once or twice and then give up and say, well, I prayed about that before. Oh, well, you keep praying. You know, that's the way we are instructed. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praise the Lord. And the Lord, you know, gave us many instructions like that in the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Now, those of you, make mention of the Lord, you know, we are told, give him no rest. Hallelujah. Until the Lord establish what it is you are believing God for. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. We shall never hold their peace, day nor night. I mean, these people, these prayer warriors, I mean, they know how to do it. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Give him no rest. That's right. This is the scripture telling us, don't give the Lord rest. You knock today, you didn't open, knock again tomorrow. You knock at 9 o'clock in the morning, you didn't open, knock again at 12 noon. Knock again at 3 p.m. Knock again at 6 p.m. Keep on knocking, you know. Give him no rest. Till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise. Well, I say till he establish and till he make your desires come to pass. Hallelujah. Whatever it is we are believing God for, stay right there in prayer and believe God for a complete redemption, total redemption coming for us, body, soul, and spirit. God can actually do it, and sometimes we don't believe it, but God can do it. God can keep us safe. He can deliver us and completely, that we don't have to be involved in accidents, sicknesses, diseases. Said, I am the Lord, you know, healer thee. I will not put any of these things on you. I will deliver you, remove these sicknesses from your midst. We cover that time and time again. And the Lord is able to keep us. Psalm 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth, you know, around them that fear him, to deliver them from evil, you know, and so on. So, but we got to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. When the devil is coming in like that into our territory, then we need to pray. We cannot sit back and let the devil have a field day. Moses prayed. He said, Lord, let thy presence go with us. You know, and if thy presence go not at all, then carry us not thence. You know, that's a good prayer to pray every day. Lord, you know, I mean, wherever I'm going or planning or whatever today, if your presence will not go with me, then let me even not step in that direction. Praise the Lord. So we also have the Holy Spirit to lean upon. When the Spirit of truth is come, even the Comforter, which I will send to you from the Father, he shall lead you into all truth. And he shall show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will guide us. Praise the Lord. So, you know, that's just a short exhortation around prayer, but I want us to go into prayers today. There's a lot of things that we need to pray about, but particularly in preparation for any upcoming crisis, any snares that the devil is trying to set, any adversity that the devil is trying to bring. We want to avert it even before it started. Praise the Lord. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you escape these things. I mean, these instructions are in the Bible. You know, let's not wait until something happens. Then we start to pray or run around like a chicken with the head cut off. No. Pray well in advance. Now, praying well in advance will strengthen us and it will give us the capacity we need. Fortify our mind, fortify our soul, our spirit through prayer and through praising the Lord. And in worship, listen to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. You know, deliver thyself as a rope, he said, you know. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you how to deliver yourself. You may say, don't go there, don't go here, don't go there. Most of those instructions will come to us when we are more prayerful. We are likely to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I've often told people, let's give credit to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit instructs you to not do a thing and averts the danger, let's give him the glory. Rather than say, something said to me. It's not something. It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit instructed me. Holy Ghost spoke. You know, in the Acts of the Apostles, they knew how to say that. They would always say, and the Holy Spirit spoke. And while they were in prayer, the Holy Spirit said this. This and this, the Holy Spirit said that. This and this, the Holy Spirit said that. But we need to also be doing that. You know, be in constant communion with the Holy Spirit and recognize that he is the one that is leading you and guiding you. And let's not say something. It is the Holy Spirit. It's not something that said to you. It's the Holy Spirit. He will guide you. He will instruct you in the way that you should go. Say, so I'll do it with my own eye and I'll keep you from the evil. Praise the Lord. So ladies and gentlemen, we are going to pray today. I want this to be a prayer the rest of the room today. And afterwards, we can give testimony and so forth. But for the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to pray. It's a call to prayer. Now, if you have a prayer need also, we're going to pray over that. I know. I believe that prayer of faith can do a lot of good. Matthew chapter 20. Here are some promises for prayer. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. You know, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You know, so if you're not going to believe, then don't pray. But if you can believe and you pray, the Bible says we shall receive all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Now, when do you receive? Do you receive it immediately? I don't know, but you shall receive. Praise the Lord. Because that's what he said. And when we pray, you know, the moment at which you are praying, you believe what you are praying for. And the Lord said, you know, if you don't doubt it, you will eventually get it. Praise the Lord. So that's how we must do it. Hallelujah. We must keep on believing God. Now, Mark 11 and 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, not if, but when. At the moment of prayer is when you believe. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's all things that you might ask in prayer. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapters 7, verses 7 and 8, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I mean, so many prayers, and all anything that you ask in my name, and you believe it, Jesus said, you know, I will do it. Praise the Lord. You know, so ask. Say, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. When you knock, though, be persistent. You know, don't knock and turn away. stay right there until the door is open. You knock, they don't open the door. Knock again, you stay right there until they open the door. Don't walk away from that door. Stay right there. Praise the Lord. Huh. But while you're waiting for the door to be opened, wait your praises and your worship. We have been told in this room that, you know, while you are in the corridor of waiting, waiting for that door to be opened, you wait in prayer, but you wait in worship and in praise. Hallelujah. Worship and praise is an integral part of prayer. You cannot separate the two. You can't say today I'm going to pray, tomorrow I'm going to praise the Lord. You know, praising the Lord, even asking a prayer from the Lord, is must be mingled with praise and worship and even thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, you know, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Father, I pray over this room right now that the mantle of prayer will come upon us to pray as we are instructed every morning in the womb of the morning, to command the blessing of the day, the dew of heaven upon ourselves. We pray, Lord, today that you will energize us to pray every day as we are instructed. Say, bring the wood upon the altar every morning, burn it again, and it shall never be put out. In the name of Jesus, we see your examples, Lord, how you got up early in the morning and prayed a great while before day, preparing for the day and the things ahead in that day. We pray, Lord, that you give us understanding to be able to do the same, and that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I pray over everyone in this room today to receive encouragement, not to give up and not to give in, you know, for all the tactics of the devil trying to discourage us. We will not give up and we will not give in. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest until he establish the thing upon you that you are believing God for. And so, Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Now, you know, the prayer of the righteous and the cry of the righteous is precious in God's sight. You know, when you call upon his name because of the righteousness of Christ that's upon you, the Lord will answer you. Praise the Lord. The prayer of the righteous is a delight unto the Lord. He wants to hear you. Praise God. But our prayer should not always be only, Father, give me this, Father, give me that. You know, it should be mingled with praise and worship and then our requests. It's all packaged together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord hear you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. And even now, as you lift up your voices in prayer, you know, let believe the Lord. The fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We'll see that when we get to James chapter 5. You know, and the prayer of the righteous is always a delight to the Lord. He wants to hear you and he invites us to come to him in prayer. So that's what we are going to do right now. And we are going to call out some different prayer topics. And we want you to pray along. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.